right, welcome. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Listeners, we're from Trade Islam International. We welcome you all heartily this morning, and inshallah, we're going to be having our panel discussion with our ulama kiram. Now, listeners, you know, a few days ago, it was on October 2017, a ruling in the High Court, Johannesburg, or the Gauteng High Court, put an end to any form of corporal punishment at home. So basically, in a nutshell, smacking your child is officially illegal in South Africa now. Today, inshallah, we're going to be talking about the alternatives, dear listeners, you know, how do we discipline our children, what is the way forward, inshallah, and to tell us more for the first hour, we're going to be joined by Maulana Abbas Ali Zubair Ali Saab, inshallah, Maulana Musa Akuri Saab till approximately 11 o'clock. Then from 11 o'clock onwards, we're going to be talking to Abdullah Suji as well as Maulana Abbas Ali Saab, inshallah. All right, the lines are open, dear listeners. It's your phone-in program. The number to call for the program, it's 011-854-1548. And the SMS number is 48855, and alternately it's 0825808070. The other WhatsApp number is 0727861548. We'd like to welcome Maulana Abbas Ali Saab. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana Muhammad. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, Maulana Saab, how are you?
I'm doing very well with your
dua. I mean, jazakallah for asking, Maulana. And on line number two, we have Maulana Musa Akuri Saab. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, Maulana. Jazakallah for asking. We hope that the ulama kiram are doing well this morning, and looking forward to, inshallah, spending the next hour and a half in the company of our senior ulama kiram, inshallah. All right, dear listeners, the lines are open, inshallah. Any questions, comments here for the ulama kiram? 011-854-1548 is the number to call. Like I said earlier, the WhatsApp number is 0727861548. Also 0825808070. Maulana Abbas Ali Saab, Maulana, to begin the discussion this morning, can Maulana Saab speak about the importance of disciplining a child and teaching them good akhlaq and good mannerism?
Jazakumullah. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I greet all the listeners of Radio Islam and my panel colleague, Maulana Musa Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, we begin the discussion with the aspect of what Islam says with regard to disciplining our children and teaching them good mannerisms. Now, alhamdulillah, we go back to the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his beautiful Seerah. And what does that say to us? Because these are the two main sources in Islam from which we draw our guidance and we draw our inspiration from. Now, taking it first from the Quran Kareem, Allah tabaraka ta'ala in the Quran Kareem speaks in a beautiful short words, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Oh, those who believe, oh, the believing man and the believing woman, save yourselves and your family member, that is your household, which includes our children, from the fire of Jahannam. Now, this, the net meaning of this is that we save them from any such acts by way of disciplining them, and we guide them, and we advise them to do anything that is against the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of the beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that way, inshallah, we as parents will be ensuring them a successful life in this world, and also ensuring them that in the hereafter also they will be successful in a form of entry into Jannah and safety from Jahannam. That is just one verse from the many other verses which allude to this particular aspect of disciplining our children and, you know, guiding them and helping them. From the hadith point of view, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned something to the effect, one is that there isn't a gift, a better gift that any parent can give to his or her child better than good adab, tarbiyat, and bringing them up on deen and making them Allah conscious and conscious of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's it. So this is the fact that we need to understand, that that is the best gift that we can give to our children. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned at the end that more than doing charitable work, doing a lot of charity, this is a better act and the greatest act of charity.
Jazakallah. I mean, jazakallah. Line number two, we have Maulana Musa Akuri Saab. Maulana, talking about the seerah of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how would the beloved of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala interact with the kids?
Jazakallah khair for that question, Maulana. I make salam to my panel senior alim on our panel here, Hazrat Maulana Abbas Alisam, and at the same time all the listeners of Radio Islam. We know that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, has been described in the most beautiful words in the noble Quran, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim, that you are in an exalted platform, you know, of character. Also, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have not sent thee but as a mercy unto mankind. And based on these aspects of mercy, we find that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the topic of discussion today, in his relationship with children, he was always very, very cheerful and merry with children. This is related by Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an. And of course, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam played with his grandsons. He would be crawling on the ground, and they would be riding him like a rider on a horse, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be taking them to and fro. That was the way Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacted with his grandchildren. And then there's also one story mentioned about Anas radiallahu ta'ala, who had a younger brother who had a pet bird, and the pet bird was known as Nughair. And so when Nughair died, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see him, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, oh Abu Umair, what has happened to Nughair? The rhyming is so beautiful. So he interacted with little children, and he greeted them as well. He never felt belittled by greeting children. Today we find that we may feel that, you know what, we are well educated, or, you know, we hold a certain position, we must wait for the children to greet us first. But if you look at the sublime character of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we find that it is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greeted children when he passed them. So even when the first fruit of the season came, the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite, Allahumma kama at'amtana awwalahu fa'at'imna akhirahu. Then he would take that fruit, put it by his eyes, and then give it to a small child first to eat. So this was association, the relationship Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with children, seating them in his lap and loving them immensely, and taking them on his breast shoulders and walking with them in the public area, sometimes even playing with the children. But at the same time, we have to understand that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also maintained the disciplining of children. And one other important aspect, you know, that especially our mothers must be very, very careful of when children misbehave, is they should not utter anything derogatory or wrong as far as the children are concerned. Because Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would supplicate for little children. It is reported Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam supplicated for Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala in the following word. He would say, Allahumma akfir ma'lahu wa waladahu wa atal umrahu wa akfir zambahu. Oh Allah, increase his wealth and his progeny, lengthen his life and forgive me his sins. So here the Sunnah Al-Awansin is teaching us to actually love our little children, be sweet with them, greet them, and of course make dua for them as well.
See, Mawlana Abbas Alisab, with regards to our children, Mawlana will be correct in saying that the child who is disciplined has a much better chance of succeeding than the child who is not. He can achieve better at school, be more mature, be more intelligent, and also at the same time get accustomed to good habits. Mawlana Sahab?
The subject of the matter here is this, that as far as our children's tarbiyat, we call it tarbiyat, which is another word for disciplining or training our child and bringing them up. We have to understand one thing, this does not start from a madrasa or a maktab, it starts from home. And it starts not with anybody outside, but with the parents themselves. And it's a gradual, gradual process which evolves from one stage to the other. But let's take the first stage, which we are referring to as, the main, where the seed is being planted of iman, and the seed of amal al-saliha, and the seeds of akhlaq-e-hasan, etc. All this, remember, the child is given into the lap of the mother, and the child is now growing up and in front of the parents. And the child, Allah has given the child with an inbuilt kind of a mechanism, in a sense that whatever the child sees the parents doing, the child is going to imitate and follow that. which means that the parents become the first role model as far as amal are concerned, as far as akhlaq are concerned. Everything that they are going to do is going to be, the child is going to be treating those soldiers, and that behavior is going to be reflected in the child's life. So we start from the first stage that parents have to be very, very careful in their behavior and, you know, in their aspects of their actions, that whatever they will do, it will be good actions. Alhamdulillah, the child will gradually see that and pick that up. And Allah forbid if there is some bad actions or fighting or abuse of words, we think the child doesn't understand, but in reality, the child is picking all the sabata. And Allah forbid it, when the child starts speaking, instead the first word being Allah, the first word being will be some swear word. So because the child saw that kind of altercation between the parents. So parents have to first understand that the aspect of tarbiyah starts from home with parents and not from a madrasa or maktab. That is the period of ta'lim, teaching. So ta'lim and tarbiyah are two important aspects. So we need to understand from this particular matter that where parents need to take this, and then they should do this, they should speak, you know, with dignity, they should speak with the child, when the child, show love, when the child comes of understanding, to advise the child, to encourage the child, as the Maulana has mentioned now, that kindness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his, relationship to children, all that has to come out. Do not be rough with them, do not be abusive to them, and inshallah, Al-Aziz, once that bonding has taken place, once you want the child, and alhamdulillah, that love is there, then as parents, we can start telling the child the good and the bad and the do's and the don'ts. And inshallah, Al-Aziz, the last aspect of it, of course, we also make dua for the children, etc., etc. Allah bring them up with the many duas mentioned in the Quran and the Hadith with regard to our children.
Ameen. Jazakumullah. Mala Musa Kudis, a question coming through. Malana Sabat, regards to a good home. The brother wants to know, he says a good home has certain rules which children must follow. And children feel better, Malana Sabat, when they know that they're expected to follow certain guidelines in the daily life. So the question, Malana, is can Malana outline to us some certain rules which the children must follow in a good home?
A very, very important question. One of the most important things we have to understand is a level of communication. And I can say this, very boldly, that the communication levels between parents and their children have diminished to a very, very great extent. Today, people have become recipients of the international mass media. There was a time when people's eyes were glued onto a newspaper, and they will be reading it, and they are oblivious of what is happening around them. Today, when the children come home, and the mother and the father, they are glued to the television. And whatever the television feeds them, in terms of immorality, or the likes of it, these are very, very easily absorbed. Because the wandering mind of a child learns this very, very quickly. And I need to bring to your attention, when it just comes to my mind now, that there were two young boys, and the Maulana was telling me, he looked out of the window, and he saw these two young boys take two glasses, and they threw a little bit of water inside, and then they added a little bit of Coke, and they made it a yellowish color that looked like lager, and then they threw some Innos inside. Now, can you imagine how creative these children were, that they actually mimicked the drink that is haram in a halal fashion, and what they actually did is they put this Innos inside where the froth all came up, and then they toasted with one another and they drank it. So their innocent minds were misled by what was communicated to them on the international mass media, a simple 50 over cricket match or a World Cup final with all these images that just come in now and then in between, of toasting, etc., has an impact on the child. Now, we don't have the communication, but the television has the communication with our children. This is why they learn so quickly from the television.
Sure.
So what we need to do, we have to build a very, very strong connection. When I was a young boy, it was very different. Nowadays, we find that we give very little attention to the children. Look at those parents who take their children and go fishing and camping with them.
Sure.
And who have family gatherings, and who teach them how to sit with them and tell them, well, we're going to be having a little bit of ta'aleen today.
Yeah.
My little boy, you are going to be making a little bit dua my little boy, you are going to be reading a little bit Quran for Abba.
Gee.
Now, when you create this, you're creating a self-esteem in the child, and you're building a very, very strong connection.
Mm.
So the first line of advice is that we have to be able to communicate and build a very, very strong connection and a bond with our children. We need to spend weekends with them. We need to take them out and stop going about, you know, the mother wants to enjoy herself.
Gee. She's
got a car of her own. And the father wants to enjoy himself. Permissible or impermissible things, he's got a vehicle of his own.
Mm.
And then they would just leave the child at home or by some uncle's place or by some friend's place. Oh, Morana and them are going out somewhere, just send him away. So the child feels he's a burden and he's dropped off by somebody else. That must never ever happen. Another thing is, you must always listen to your children.
Mm.
Very, very important. And stay very, very close to them. You know, you've got to set limits in that, but you've got to understand them. And inshallah, in the very manner in which Islam teaches disciplining, by these particular methods, we can apply this discipline, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. Masam, jazakumullah for that. Malana Salih Sahib, with regards to disciplining our kids, Malana Sahib, what are the different ways and the different methods of disciplining a child?
First of all, as mentioned earlier, that we have to start from home. Tarbiyat starts from home, and the role models and the people who are the best murabbis, as we call them, are the father and the mother. And the child is watching them. There are two people in life, and them, the children idealize, and idealize also. They idealize their parents, that the parents are the best and the greatest people in the world. They grow up, and everything comes from mom and dad. So they will always look up to them. Later on, when they go into a school or to a madrasa or maktab, then the teacher becomes their idol. In the sense, they start idealizing him or her. So the fact here is this, that we cannot emphasize enough on the aspect of the tarbiyat at home, on all the aspects of how the behavior of parents as role models. Secondly, that we need to advise them. All the small, like the seeds of iman and the seeds of sunnah are planted from home. Let's say, when a child becomes of understanding eating time, we say now, mashallah, we are Muslims, we must start with the name of Allah, because Allah has given us this food. That's a small seed that we are planting that don't have a start. If the food is put in a child ready to start, did you wash your hands? And thereafter, the child will come. If the child is eating with the left hand, correct the child. We should eat with the right hand. There's barakat in it. Our Nabi Muhammad SAW taught us to eat. But these are little trivial things that may seem to people. But that tarbiyat aspect of planting the seeds of the love for the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ and the Islamic etiquette, in any case, the adab of Islam and culture, is that we teach them in between that you make shukr to Allah, alhamdulillah, and don't waste, etc., etc. Take how much you can eat, because you waste and all that is wasted. Allah doesn't like the wasters, and the shaitan gets happy with it. And at the end, after finishing, right, clean your plate, and did you read the dua? And if you don't know the whole dua, just then say, alhamdulillah, praise be to you, Allah, and shukr to you, Allah. So these little things, starting from every aspect of the sunnah, of clothing, of eating, of going to toilet, etc., etc., these are the aspects that we need. Now, that is why it is very, very important for parents to sit and eat with their children, to spend quality time with their children, and have that communication, as Maulana mentioned, with our children. Unfortunately, this is getting less and less. Parents are too busy on that side. Their both parents are working. This side, the children are too busy with their PlayStations and with their computers and with their cell phones, etc. But the result, they come. Each one comes on his or her time, and they just have their meals and slip off to their room, or they go out of the house to their friends or whatever it may be. And this is something which is very worrying for the future. That if that communication between parents and children are not built up in the ages of what we call the formal ages, which are the real ages of indoctrination, then the child will, the bonding will get less, the child's feeling for parents will get cooled off, and they start finding things which they got more interest in a form of technology and social media and also friends outside. And when parents are reach the age and they come to see bad habits, and now when they want to communicate with the child, they have already lost the child to friends or lost the child to social media. The child finds the father and the mother who is trying to advise them as just being, just boring, and they are, just, they can't tolerate them.
So that is very, very important that, that you know, we build up that particular link with them, that communication link with them, and, you know, sit with them, talk with them, have live conversation at the time of the of supper. What did you do at school today? And what did you do at the madrasa today? Etc., etc. So that kind of communication conversations are very, very important, and we should not underestimate it. And the more we have this, inshallah, then, you know, we can talk to the children. You know, when we tell them of something of the right and wrong, we'll be able to reach them. They say you have to reach a child. This can go for a teacher as well as for parents. Before you can teach the child.
Yeah.
If you haven't reached the child, how are you going to get through to the child and teach the child? So these are some of the aspects that we need to start off in the sense of connecting them with us and in the sense of giving good advice, love and muhabbat. And inshallah, let me take it from there.
I mean, inshallah, jazakallah. We continue, yes, the WhatsApp number is 0825 80 80 70 for this morning's program. And inshallah, if you want to contribute to the program, call us on 011-854-1548. Well, Musa, could you stop the notion that you have to be cruel to be kind? Children need a good beating to become good people. Is this mindset correct?
You know what, we're just displaying an attitude on behalf of our elders to our children, which our children are going to model. So they say very, very, aptly that hitting models hitting. There's a classic story of a mother who believed in a necessary spanking of a child, to discipline the child, you know. And what she noticed was that the three-year-old child, her daughter, was hitting her one-year-old child. So the mother asked the three-year-old child, what are you doing?
Mm.
So the three-year-old child said, I'm just playing mommy.
Yeah.
So in other words, what has the child done? The child has learned to come out of a situation and to win. You have to hit and beat somebody. And this was displayed in the home when she said, I'm just mommy. So you have to, you know, well, you have to be able to sit down with your child. Make the child understand what is right. You know, Maulana Abbas Ali mentioned something very, very important. And educationists, they mention this also, that, you know, when you plant a seed, then you will enjoy watching it grow. The problem also with us is we don't plant the seed. So we're not watching what is growing. So the important thing is to start off from the very, very tender and young age. I mean, if a mother takes a child in, I've witnessed this in our family, where one of my daughters would read the Quran and Majid excessively,
yeah,
while she was expecting. And today, the medical science have discovered that a child will have an impact even though the child is in the womb of the mother.
Yeah.
Gina from Kimberley was telling us a story. This is a very, very great lesson for our mothers. And I need to each one to listen to it with the ears of our hearts.
Yeah.
Gina was telling me when we met in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he says that there was a case of a child born in Kimberley, who wouldn't take milk, wouldn't drink water, wouldn't drink anything, but would only be able to satiate itself if it was given alcohol, because the mother was an alcoholic. Now, can you imagine what a detrimental state of affairs this is?
Mm.
That the child would only find satisfaction in alcohol because the mother was an alcoholic. In the very, very same way, I was telling the case of one of my daughters who read plenty Quran and Majid when she was expecting. That child at a young age became a Hafiz al-Quran.
Yeah.
But he modeled what his mother was doing even though he was in the womb of the mother.
Mm.
So now, when the mother hits the child and starts swearing at the child and starts calling him all derogatory names, so what? Now, the family home is actually like a training camp.
Yeah.
Teaching children how to handle conflicts. Now, how do you handle conflicts? You've got to take the stick in your hands. You've got to take the fist. You've got to fight it out. And so we find that studies have shown that children from families where they have been spanked are more likely to use aggression to handle conflicts when they become adults. So it doesn't set a very, very good role model. It definitely, it sets a very, very negative tone. And you know where you will find the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking about when a child not reading salat and hit the child. Now, from this I draw a conclusion that you have children who are 1 year old, 2 year old, 3 year old, 4 year old, and they progress right into their teens.
Yes.
So, Maulana and our listeners, what we need to see is if they are very young, a 4 year old child and a 5 year old child, I mean, you cannot be taking a whoop and lashing them and giving them a hiding. These are so vulnerable children. Their smiles are so valuable. You know, their looks are so innocent. But when they reach the age of 9 and 10, when they are 10, that is why the hadith says that when they don't read salah at that particular time, that is the time when you can take them to task, because that's the age of understanding. So then we have to apply that at that particular age. So we find that it can be, this can be carte blanche to say a 1 year old child doesn't listen, give him a hiding. I mean, there's been incidents on social media that went around where a maid takes a child and just throws a child into the court because the child is crying. The poor child can't even communicate. So the level of abuse is very, very high in that particular instance. So by hitting your children who are 1 year old and 2 year old, you're definitely abusing your children. You're breaking their mindset. You're breaking their will, and you're making them very, very weak. You're making them lose their self-esteem. And studies have shown that if there's a hug hit ratio of 100 to 1, you have 100 hugs and 1 hit, the child will not remember the 100 hugs, he'll remember the 1 hit. So physical punishment, you know, people, they feel that it's okay to write, to vent your anger, you know, and they feel it's wrong, it's right to hit somebody to try and solve a situation. And, you know, yesterday I read in the Citizen, there was a very, very interesting article that in Pietermaritzburg, they're speaking about the future leaders of tomorrow. So we're not speaking about kindergarten children. We're not speaking about the primary school. We're speaking about high school children in their standard 9s and their matrix. They have a party at the end of the year, and in this party, they urinated in condoms, right? And they were throwing it and flinging it at teachers and pupils alike. They were, you know, they were throwing flour and eggs at one another. And the discipline after being for 10 or 12 years in school was the lowest level. And I think this stems from the conduct that is at home, because they didn't have a proper conduct. And from this also, Maulana, we will learn that Islam forbids adultery. And children who are born out of wedlock. When Nelson Mandela went into a classroom, he, at that particular time, asked a classroom of over 30 children, how many of you know your fathers? Only approximately 10 children put up their hands, saying they know who their fathers are. The rest of the children don't know who their fathers are. So when you don't know who your father is because of adultery, and at the moment adultery is being promoted in our country, that, you know what, legalize, condomize, and all those type of things, let go ahead with the zina. Then these children are born, or you know, when condoms and this are not used, and what happens to these children? They don't have a proper family. So these are the children who end up in school taking condoms and filling it up with urine and throwing it at one another because there was no discipline in their homes. Very important. It's very, very important to follow the Islamic idea, you know, of raising children, you know, in the way it was modeled to us by our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we'll go very, very far. And the element of salah ingrained in a child at the age of 7 shows him devotion to higher authority, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we find our children are 20, 21, 22 years old, they're not even reading salah. So these are very important things that have, should have been ingrained in them when they were little children. But if parents don't read salah themselves, how do we expect our children to read salah?
Masab, Jazakumullah for that. We continue, inshallah. The WhatsApp number is 0825-8080-70. When I say this, with regards to, you know, the blaming lack of respect, many people blame lack of respect and lack of the right attitude of today's children because of the ban on corporal punishment. Masab, is this true or are the factors that play a part?
Okay, it's like this, that I don't think so. This is just but one single factor to which you attribute today's undisciplined children and, you know, the lack of the right attitudes and lack of respect, etc. There are many, many other factors that play a role and that go about to contribute towards this bad attitudes and towards this lack of respect for, you know, society, the lack of respect for elders, to teachers, and to, for rules and regulations. You know, you know the famous t-shirt that children wear today? No rules. No rules. just do it. These are all, you know, what we call, you know, this kind of discrete messages, certain messages that are sent out. You find it on their pencil cases, you find it on their clothes, on their school bags. You know, just do it, no rules, and don't fear. These are, you know, things that we need to look at, to let parents buy them this kind of things with all these messages. The child is looking at these satanic messages continuously at himself, at his school bag, at his pencil case. And so the one is, I fear any rule or any authority. Why should I have fear for anybody? And I must just do what comes in my head. Now, the fact here is this, that all of these things are going towards the aspect of breaking down the, you know, the discipline of the children and respect, you know, for anything, you know, and creating anarchists and those kind of people, you know, through these things. Besides, our parents think they're putting our children in front of the TV and watching cartoons and watching The Simpsons, so-called, which is, you know, we think it's just a little cartoon, but not realizing that these things, these kind of cartoons also have the subliminal message, such messages that are breaking, where the son is disobeying the father and the husband is abusing the wife and the wife is, disobeying the husband. All of these things parents need to reflect. It looks very, very simple and innocent that we make the TV become the, what we call it, the child, you know, child care or child center, and just put them there. And we think they're just watching. But look at the messages. If the child is seeing the message in those kind of cartoons and all of those, and then knows that the child is disobeying the father and the mother, with the result, the child is also going to grow up like that. Yesterday, I was talking to one of my students, we were just talking about, and his child misbehaved, and he gave the child a hiding. And the child is about 6 years in grade one. Okay. And the child said to the father, I'm going to take you to the police station. Now, just imagine, they know all about it. We'll talk about it at a later stage. The fact is this, that today children are become very conscious going to the Western institution to be taught about their rights. And they know that, it, like we heard in the early quarter, you know, which was mentioned in the beginning, that the bill that had been passed, that before it was passed two, 3 years ago, the Children's Amendment Act, that, you know, in schools, etc., or institutions, public institutions, that if you use corporal punishment, you know, you can get into trouble. But now we are hitting the latest one, which is passed last week, you said in the court, that now even parents can't discipline their children, even at home, in the form of any kind of corporal punishment. Now, when you come to punishment, our mind just goes to the aspect of beating and abusing them, and, you know, all that. Yet, punitive measures, as we call them, punitive measures, not necessarily only relating to physical aspect. I mean, we start from there, we advise nicely, first, friendly, then if the child is not listening, then we become a little stern and you know, show or throw a body language that what you are doing is not right. You don't just go straight to hitting. If that also doesn't work out, then deprive the child of the child's privileges, in the sense of you cannot go out to play today, you're not going to get spending money, you are not going to get your toys to play with, you're going to be grounded, you're going to sit in and do your homework, or you're going to sit and read a book, etc., etc. But of course, we in Islamically, we teach them a better way. Right now, you have to change yourself. Okay. What you're going to do, you're going to reach Quran Karim, because you are doing things that is displeasing, not only to mom and dad, but to Allah. Now, sit and learn one surah and go and do it, and inshallah, that will help you. So don't put that as a punishment. No, you can't put Quran, but put it down that now you need to, you got some bad habits, you're not listening. Or after a while he's done that run part, now you go and take a book and read. And, you know, all this to deprive them of their privileges. And these are also aspects of disciplining. It doesn't necessarily have to go straight towards beating and physical punishment. In fact, from Islamic point of view, there are many rules which will come up in the later part of the program, but I'll just mention it briefly now, in the sense that physical punishment, which you call corporal punishment, physical aspect of it, is the last resort, one. Number two, it is subjected and conditioned to various Sharia or Shari ethics.
Okay.
How far you go and what you do and what is regarded as, you know, wrong in Sharia, and you know, how much is allowed when it comes to that. So let us look at those aspects of disciplining in the sense of, first nice talking, then stern talking, and then, depriving them of privileges, etc., in various ways. And inshallah, try and, reach them in that way. Because children, one thing they don't like is to be deprived of their privileges, playing time, and they were from friends, or sitting in place on the PlayStation, and all of that. It's very hard for them. So inshallah, it's all wisdom that we use on what occasion, on the kind of the offense that the child has made. And then inshallah, we trust in Allah, inshallah, help us in this matter, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah, jazakumullah. All right, Tamasa, we take one more question before 11 o'clock. Mala Musa Akurisa, with regards to disciplining a child when we're angry, what are the consequences of beating or maybe hitting the child or even disciplining a child when a person is angry?
Beating and hitting the child, it actually devalues the child. And the child loses his self-esteem. And, he perceives his parents now, in a different light. So the love is lost. And so what happens is that the child grows up in a very, very negative environment. Now, another thing is, you'll find a situation where a little child is taking a vase and the mother will give a light tap on the hand and the child still goes forward. The tap grows a little bit harder and then goes more further and the child starts screaming. Then it goes to a hit even harder. So now there's a tug of war between the child and a tug of war between the mother. And so it's a question of who wins. Eventually the mother wins in the end by giving the child a hiding, and then what happens is the child just turns away and that's it. So you find that that child grows up in a very, very negative environment. And then when the child sees the mother getting angry and using, many parents use such language for their children: you're a good for nothing, you're a useless, nothing can come of you, I wish I hadn't given birth to you. And like that, all these things that happen, the verbal abuse,
yeah,
also, plays a very, very negative, has a negative impact on the children. So the punishment escalates, and you start punishing the child a little bit, and it goes more and more. And then the parents, they aren't able to control themselves. So it seems like these parents have come out from that very, very same environment when their parents screamed at them when they were little children. So one of the most important things, it's mentioned in the Kitabs of Fiqh as well, La yaqdi al-qadhi wa huwa ghazban.
The
qadhi must not even give a judgment in a court case if he's angry, because it may go in the wrong direction. So anger is something, Murana Masyullah rahmatullahi should always say, he says, wo kaun si cheez haram hai, lekin uske peene mein sawab hai. The one that something is haram and to consume it and swallow it is permissible, then he would say your anger, And he was a man who taught us the different stages and the different mannerisms in which we need to make amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. The demonstrative method by way of example, by way of a story, by way of saying what punishment and wrongs can come about it. And then finally he would say, if a person doesn't learn, fir to sarahatan kehna hi parta hai. And I remember There was a situation, we're talking of a student who's about 16, 17 years old. And look at the impact it had on him. And I want us to play the very, very same thing when we are young, when we are interacting with our children. That the youngster was smoking, and Maulana walked into the madrasa.
Yeah.
Maulana Masyullah Rahmatullah Ali. And the youngster, got a shock. He puffed out some smoke and threw the cigarette onto the ground. So Maulana Masyullah Rahmatullah Ali bent down, he picked up the cigarette. Now he's giving an explanation to the child, to the youngster. He says, "Isme se to dua nikal raha hai, smoke is coming out from here." And he says, "Isme to badbu hai, there's a bad smell here." And he says, "Aage to aag hai, there's fire here in front." Now he's given three aspects negative of the cigarette itself. And then he said, the minimum punishment in Jahannam will be where a person will be made to wear shoes of fire. And smoke will be coming out from his mouth, and his brains will be boiling like a cauldron. So it could be boiling and smoke. So he said, Bacha? He said, oh, my boy? He said, Achya, Bacha, cigarette nahi piya karte. Good boy, don't smoke. And told him, he says that, you're imitating a Jahannami by letting smoke come out. You should be imitating a Jannati. You know when Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullahi left the hostel, this boy was in tears, he was crying, and he gave up smoking.
SubhanAllah.
Look at the method he used. He didn't just come to the office, bend down, six of the best.
There
was nothing like that. You know, there was a way in which he interacted. So, you go angry, there's always the fear that you can, you can lose yourself. And, in the light of your child, you can lose respect as well. And then you start saying and uttering things and doing things that are far worse than the extent to which the child has done something wrong. And it has long-term effects. Research has shown that it leaves deep scars, more lasting, than just a fleeting redness on the bottom, on the mind of a child. You know, 10 years they found that children who were raised in homes with severe corporal punishment, they were antisocial. Physical violence became an accepted norm for these children. Right? College students who were beaten up when they were young by their parents, they showed more psychological disturbances. Now, we're coming to the end of the program, but what I need to say is we often have heard the term, spare the rod and spoil the child.
Yeah.
Maulana Abbas gave a very, you know what, when he said that take away the privileges from them. You know, today our children, they just say, you know, Maulana Bamji Marhum from Middleburg would say, when he came once, we invited him to speak to our young children. He said, stop living off the fat of your fathers and mothers, your parents.
Yeah.
He said, you want to wear a techies that cost 1,000 rand? Go out there into the workplace and slog for it.
Yeah.
Aspire for it and then buy it. You know, so parents mustn't spoil their children, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, what Maulana said, take away the privileges, is very, very important. One of the things we should never do is time out. When, this was a normal thing, okay, we're not going to spank our children, but we're giving them time out. So my daughter was telling me that somebody had mentioned to her that the parents take a child and they tell the child, we're locking you up in the toilet.
Mm.
They lock the child up in the toilet for half an hour. The toilet is a place of najasat.
Yeah.
Impurity of jinnat.
Mm.
And then when we find an adverse behavior in our children, we say, what has happened to the child? But the child has been affected by jinn that was in the toilet, for which he has no reason and purpose to be in the toilet, but that was time out.
Yeah.
The time out is like, you know what, imprisoning a child
in
an environment to tell him, if you don't do this, I'm sending you to prison. So that child will grow up with this year that, you know what, today you find in spite of everything that's happening in the world, the prisons are still full. In the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were virtually no prisons at all. So look at the difference. There must be something wrong in the way we are parenting, in the way our social behavior with people are in the marketplace and in the workplace, etc. But things are really out of hand. So the element of deen has to come into our lives. Now when they say spare the rod and spoil the child, I have to discuss this particular aspect here quickly, Moran. I know the time is almost up. But you know, when Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَىٰ, what have you got in your hand, O Musa? So Musa alayhi salam says, قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ. You know, it's my asa.
Yeah.
My stick. You know, أَتَوَكَّوْ عَلَيْهِ عَلِّينُونِيَةِ. You know, and I look after my animals, and all the Anbiya were animals. Now look at he's given a very, very positive impression of the stick itself. Right? Now when you give a shepherd a stick, have you ever seen a shepherd take the stick or the rod and start beating up all the sheep? He doesn't beat them up.
Mm.
He calls out to the sheep and then he guides them from left to right and right to left and from front to back, etc. He just uses that staff to make them afraid, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And brings them onto line. But you never see him beating the sheep.
Sure.
Although I've seen some cases where they really lash the animals with their whoops and things like that.
Yeah.
But generally, if you look at the shepherds in the form of the Anbiya Kiram, they will be just guiding their animals with those stars and everything. So our rod means we have to guide our children and to speak to them and to interact with them and to take them with us out in Jamaat, you know, when they're 12, 13 years old, and to take them out to go and meet great awliya and to instill these good habits in them, you know, and from a very young age, anything that is negative, anything that is against the grain of deen, these are the things that we should take away from their lives. And like Morana was speaking about the Simpsons, I mean, you know what, we don't know how the minds of our children are molded by these cartoons. That, you know, 25 years back, if a child had those thick hair standing up, you know, somebody would say he must be assigned to a mental institution.
Yeah.
And today, the very, very same children, even adults, are wearing their hair straight up because they learned it from The Simpsons. Morana was speaking about it just a little while back. And Simpson, in one of his cartoons, he says, I am God. So you can imagine what it does to the iman and the aqid of our children.
Sure.
So we have to grow up our children in an Islamic environment.
Sure.
Listen to the Islamic, and the rod must be there as a warning. And you know what, love, you know, Sheikh Sajid Rahmatullah said that with love, you can hold the elephant by one hair and take it from one place to the other. You can see, you know, when they have the dolphins performing some marvelous feats,
yeah,
you know, in gratitude. So you know what, with love you can do a lot, and you can let animals do amazing things. But we have to make a lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our children the coolness of our eyes.
Amen.
In the age of rebellion, this is the age when they are indoctrinated, you know, in other environments and by the international media to such an extent. We can only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for assistance.
Amen, amen.
Provide our children.
Amen. Master, jazakumullah so much. Much appreciated. Allah give us all the tawfiq to make amal. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us obedient, healthy children who will be the coolness of our eyes. But I must have a jazakumullah for the information. Inshallah, request for du'as as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Line number one, we have Mona Abbas Ali Zubair Sahib. Morana, inshallah, will continue after 11 o'clock news.
Okay.
Jazakumullah. And the guest also will be Brother Abdullah Suji after 11. Don't go away. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to listeners. Yes, Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala karam, Allah most gracious, most merciful. We continue to listeners from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. We had a program panel discussion. We spoke to Mona Abbas Ali Sahib as well as Mona Musa Akwili Sahib with regards to disciplining our children. We continue, inshallah. And for the next, I think, 25 minutes, we're going to be joined with Brother Abdullah Suji, who's only got about 20 minutes with us, as well as Maulana Abbas Ali Sahib, inshallah. We'd like to welcome Abdullah Suji, who's a principal of the Roshni Muslim School in the program. He was also the guest on Wednesday night. Abdullah, my brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the panel and to the listeners of Radio Islam. Always a pleasure to be on an esteemed radio broadcasting like Radio Islam. Jazakallah khair, Mawlana Kar.
Amin. Jazakallah, my brother. Always a pleasure. Jazakallah for your time as well. Line number two, we have Mawlana Abbas Ali Sahib. Mawlana, once again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Mawlana.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah, Mawlana Sahib. Brother Abdullah, with regards to corporal punishment, my brother, can you give us a definition of corporal punishment?
Well, we all know that corporal punishment is the use of the hand or an instrument on a child that has been ruled out, you know, and it is unconstitutional to do that. However, in many cases, we are all guilty of administering corporal punishment in many characteristic ways. Now, that is the law of the country, and obviously it is aimed in a very broad sense to limit abuse of children by adults in any way. And that's why the article in the newspaper where parents also are banned from hitting their children or administering a form of corporal punishment. And that is going to bring a whole host of matters to our country, because these type of laws already exist in Europe and other countries. So it is going to be challenging. It is going to be a very big shift from what we are currently used to, particularly in Africa and Asia as such. So I think we're in for a very big challenge, and I'm sure the ulama have touched upon this as well. Mawlana, I don't know how else we can phrase it except to say that it is a use of force on a child.
Mawlana Abbas, with regards to the Islamic ruling, can Mawlana Sahib clarify to us what is the Sharia ruling, the Islamic ruling regarding corporal punishment?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As far as the corporal punishment is concerned, the basis of it is actually capital punishment. It comes from there. So the topic, of course, is not capital punishment, but which means the penalties that are meted out for people who steal. And of course, it's got its entire whole big details with it, and it's not as simplistic as all that, you know, as people make it out in the West. They just chop off hands. But we won't touch capital, but it's got a lot of Sharia laws that have to adhere to. but we know where it comes from. Now, corporal punishment is just one of the subsidiaries of capital punishment in a smaller way when it comes to bringing up our children, disciplining them, making their tarbiyat, and in school situations and madrasa and institutions where we deal with our students. Now, the fact of the matter is that as far as Islam is concerned, that, you know, it has made allowance, you know, for a good society, a healthy society in the sense of spirituality, etc., that these laws have been, they are divine laws by Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, which have been revealed, and for the better. Once, and these are not only found in the Quran, by the way, if you look at the aspect of capital punishment, if you look at it in Judaism, if you look at it in Christianity, you find some verses in the Bible with regard to that. But of course, you know, it has become taboo, because they have sort of thrown it all overboard, and the laws and the constitutions of the country and United Nations ratifications of all these laws, etc., has abolished that. But as far as Islam is concerned, when we believe that the Quran is a divine law, you know, in the sense that it comes from Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, then, you know, we don't just accept that man-made laws should supersede the laws of Allah and the divine laws. So, coming back on the aspect of the corporal punishment, we find enough hadiths and ayats of the Quran al-Kareem with regard to both of the topics that I'm discussing, capital as well as corporal. Let's just take the aspect of corporal punishment. Very famous hadith which you heard earlier also, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that when a child reaches the age of 7, then, you know, you must start advising the child. You know, they are guiding the child, come join me, on the Muslim, the mother will call the daughter, the father will take the son to the masjid. From 7 onwards, the teaching, the tarbiyat of the child starts, like I mentioned earlier, that the tarbiyat process starts from home, from parents, and not from madrasas and maktabs or from institutions. Then the child is taught about salah, of the various sunnahs of eating, drinking. All of those aspects are, you know, from 7 up to 10, you can imagine how many, 3 or 4 years the child is spoken, advised, of course, with love and with wisdom, and, you know, also with aspects of rewarding the child for, mashallah, doing some of those things, and etc., etc. Now comes the age of 10. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that now if the child is still not taken on, then you can, mete out physical, punishment to the child in the sense of putting pressure on the child to start performing salah. Right. So we have to accept on the basis that the child had been the first process or the first stage had been done by role models of parents, then speaking by parents, etc., advising. Now if the child is still not, because salah is a faraz of Islam. Now the fact here is this, that some more stringent measures and much, much more stronger measures need to be taken. Now again, when it comes to the aspect of corporal punishment, we can expand the discussion of salah to all the other aspects of halal, haram, bad language, bad akhlaq, smoking, all these other things that Islam regards as forbidden. At first it has to be started with advising, and first friendly advice, and then a bit more stern advices. But it doesn't work, then what do we do? Then Islam does make allowance for corporal punishment, whether it's an institution, where an Islamic institution, of course, and also it makes allowance for parents also. So we cannot run away from that aspect. But again, Islam has got rules and regulations. There is no exaggeration in this matter. Any small thing, just break the child's bones and hit the child and blue, white, you know, all colors you make the child because the child's not listening. No. Sharia rules have to be adhered to. And what are the rules? For example, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will not bruise the child. Now imagine if a child is not bruised. Pain is inflicted, but no bruises. You will not hit the child on sensitive places of the body, face, etc., including. So these, it's not just aspect of that, you know, you just go to town, and so also there is no negligence, that let the child just do what they feel like and grow up like a wine wheat tree, unpruned, and nothing, a child can do what they feel like, as you find today in the Western world and in the world generally where these laws are taking place. So we have to accept from the Quranic point of view also, as well as from the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the early start when we started with this, Allah says, save yourselves and your family members, which includes children, from the fire of Jahannam. Now surely some methodology or some process is to be followed, that when they're going to be developing bad habits, we have to take them into Jahannam. So we have to save them from there and create good habits in them, in the sense. So if it comes to the aspect, and one more point to remember, with all the Sharia
conditions, we also have to, corporal punishment, Islam is not the first point protocol. It is the last, as a last resort. With all those conditions, you will get it. So two things. One is that what are the Sharia rules in that? No bruises, etc. Number two, that you will use that not as a beginning point, but at the last point.
All right. Jazakumullah. Brother Abdullah Suji, how important, my brother, is it to be in control of yourself when disciplining? You know what actually happens sometimes, even teachers and parents go overboard in the attempts to discipline. And I think Malam Musaqudisab earlier spoke about the home that becomes like a military camp with strict rules being enforced all the time. And Abdullah, how important, my brother, is it advisable, you know, that parents temper the discipline with absolute gentleness and love, and also that physical force and nagging should be avoided? And I'm going to add one more question to that, Abdullah. When a child is beaten black and blue, you know, physical force has been given to the child, marks on the body, in your experience, does this affect the child later in life?
Amat, firstly, Jazakallah khair to Maulana, who has listed such important points in such a systematic way. Allah give Maulana Baraka, inshallah.
Ameen.
Maulana, the first thing you must understand, today's children need the affirmation that they are successful.
Yeah.
We cannot overemphasize the importance of affirming a child. Not that every day you must tell a child, you're good, because then it becomes a dosage and they take it for granted. We have to affirm our child's positive behavior by way of credible instruction and credible love. You know, you cannot just throw toys at the child and money at the child thinking that that will be a sort of compensation for a good act done. We have to teach our children values, honesty, integrity, love and care for humanity. Until our children do not learn to care and love for other people of humanity, they become very selfish, therefore become rebellious. Now, if you look at the life of the Sahaba of the Alaum and how they learn from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is that they always had care, ikram, for a fellow Muslim, for a fellow human being, up to a point when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also was concerned about the animals, that you must feed them well, and you must not even slaughter one animal in front of another, you know. So what does that all teach us? It teaches us that we have to affirm creation, we have to affirm people in a positive light. When children feel abused, when they feel alienated, when they feel the sibling rivalry reaches a point of no return, they become very rebellious, and that is when the parents lose it, you know. Even in a class, favoritism, even in a home, favoritism. We always tend to compare our children to other children. Mothers always compare the better child, you know, to others. And they always say, no, that parent's children are so good. So the children feel, you know, very apprehensive in their own homes, because there is no sense of appreciation. And I'm using this word continuously, affirmation.
Yeah.
Once, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was affirmed by Nabuwat, and that catapulted him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to a high rank, you know, so high that he is the Rasul and Messenger of Allah. Meaning that we also must affirm people positively. Yes, the trials and tribulation, children must learn. Today we want to mollycoddle our children and give them and take away all stops, you know. So children do not even know adversity. So a little pinch on the ear sometimes and a little, you know, shove on the shoulder is a means of telling the child, hello, there are bigger things in life that will push you around. Now, Maulana is correct that you don't hit the child until they black and blue, because that will definitely leave marks on the child emotionally and psychologically. Because you find abusive people do that to their children. And more than that, when the child sees a parent being hit by the other parent, maybe a father over mother, mother over father, they begin to think that that's a norm of society. So corporal punishment, when you look at it, it is there by the legal capacities of the time, in light of all the wrong that society is doing. That's why they took it out, thinking that if they abolish it, then children will be safe from adults, unrealizing of the fact that there has to be a moral code in bringing up children. Therefore, parents also have to be control their tempers. They have to know their own self. You know, I mean, if you know you're a temperamental fellow, then you must be very careful in how you rear your children. You know, if you're a temperamental fellow, then don't walk in the house when you're angry.
Yeah.
And if you're a temperamental fellow, then show your temper to the world also. Why you come home and show it? You know, you know? And on air, for example, we can come across so beautifully. If you listen to Maulana talk and all the other guests talking, they came across with such so much of eloquence, and they give an aura of so much of love that you want to be in their company. Regardless of where you are, you feel, hey, can't I spend a little more time with Maulana? Because there's so much of there's an ambience of love that comes from the chest of Maulana and the other guests. Similarly, children want to feel that ambience of love and affection from their parents. Obviously, you know, not an overdose, because then you're patronizing the child, you know. Yeah. So Maulana, it's so important that children learn. You know, children learn with their eyes. So parents have to behave properly. And I want to conclude on this point, this one here. If a child sees a father bribe the cop,
yeah,
right, for $10, and he gets the ticket gets squashed. Now the child comes home and he drops something in the house, and he rebels against his mother, and now the father slaps him silly.
Yeah.
In the mind of the child is, hello, is this the same father that bribed the cop, which is totally also against the Sharia? Now he comes home and he hits me for this. Now he's telling me something, you know. However, even when the parent is wrong, the parent is still right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we have to look at it that way, that how many laws are we breaking ourselves as parents openly to the child, which is incongruent to how we want them to be grown up. And that is the next psychological scar they grow up in. They grow up with, rather, when they see the incongruent behavior of society, and they find that even at home there's an incongruent behavior. For a child to listen when the mother drops off the child at school, you know, perhaps there's music blasting out. He comes into the school and Surya thing has been read.
Yeah.
And then now he has to connect the two worlds.
Yeah.
You know, you see, so we have to display a congruency to our children. And really, that is why I emphasize the importance of ta'alluq with ulama. The meaning that is, ulama have to come down to the schools more often, being in the company, establish programs, and the mu'allimas as well, because so much is done for the boys in different ways, and little is done for the girls. Therefore, you know, we need to study society, and how is this going to affect generations to come. So Maulana, really, I think it's such an important program, and you know, being pressed for time, really, I just want to conclude by saying the fact that you cannot hit a child even in the home is very much like what's happened in the UK. A child can pick up the phone, its phone lifeline or whatever, and the parent can be charged, you know. And this is going to happen. It is going to happen in this country, so we have to remain firm in our deen and introduce our children to deen, and through the ulama, through the mashayikh, so they can see a higher order, you know, to respect. Because by and large, you find ulama are in the main, they are correct in their behavior. So when they see this consistency, then they will realize, you know what, at the end of the day, I have to make my own choices.
Inshallah. Brother Abdullah, JazakAllah for the advice and nasihat, my brother. Inshallah, some other platform, we will continue talking about this topic and others. Take care, my brother. All the best, inshallah.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Marhaba Asali Sahab, approximately 7-8 minutes left. Inshallah, we terminate the after. Marana Sahab from the Quran Kareem in the Sunnah of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What warnings are there against abuse, whether it's children, spouses, or even servants?
It's a very, very sensitive aspect that you have questioned. The idea here is this, that our problem is that we will either go to one extreme in exaggerating in the aspects of meeting out punishments, you know, or else we'll be completely negligent. And the result of this is that either one, there's an imbalance. We call it ikrat and takrib, and two extremities. With the result, then we pay the price for it. Now, from the Quran and Hadith, we are taught moderation in every aspect. We have heard a lot about this, how you start the process of disciplining children and disciplining our students in the madrasas and schools, etc. The fact of the matter is that now we need to understand the spirit of disciplining and tarbiyat. And who is our best example? Our beloved Nabi Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We look at his seerah and his sunnah, that how he related to sahaba. Okay, they were adults. But also Maulana Musa Sahab in the early part of the program spoke about some of the aspects of the younger sahaba, who used to make them ride them behind his horse or behind the mule, etc. How he used to show compassion to his grandchildren, etc. So the fact here is this, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's essential nature, as the Quran says, Rahmatullil Alameen, wa ma'asannaka illa Rahmatullil Alameen. Somewhere Allah Ta'ala refers to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as Ra'ufur Rahim. One is eternal mercy, one is compassionate and kind. Somewhere Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referred to as praised, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It's because of your compassion, mercy and kindness towards the people, this sahaba converge around you like moths, you know, fly around a light. That's how. And had you been of aggressive nature, and had you been of harsh and hard kind, لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ عَوْلِكَ, they would have all run away from you. They would have stayed away from, aloof from you. Same way, the same attitude that we have in accordance with the seerah, our children will love us, our students will love us, our servants will love us, our spouses will love us. The fact of the matter is that they will see that compassion, even if you're being a bit strict on a certain matter, but the spouse will also know that my husband is a caring husband, he's not spoiling me in the sense of breaking the hukum of Allah. He has to tell me what is the hukum of Allah, she'll also, or he, you know, the spouse also will know where to draw the line. If it is related to our children, we bring that aspect also out and show to them that, you know, this is what you are doing. It's not really upsetting mommy and daddy, but this is also upsetting, you know, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this is not the way that our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. So we invoke the name of Allah and His Rasul and Sharia and Deen, etc., all the time. Now when it comes to the aspect of abuse, you know, whether it's physical abuse, whether it's verbal abuse, whether it's emotional abuse, all of these things are completely, you know, wrong in Islam and forbidden. Because you are causing physical, you'll be causing maybe psychological, physical hurt to the person. But the other ones are also emotional, etc. You are causing psychological damage. And that child will not grow up with confidence. And the child will also grow up with the same traits. That he will, it will be a vicious circle. The child will treat his children the same way. That son will treat his wife the same way. That if he becomes a teacher or a Maulana, he'll treat his students in the same way. Sure. Abuse of language abuse, or, you know, all the verbal abuse, and even physical. Now the fact of the matter is that we who have grown up in a past culture, maybe some of the things were condoned that you find even in, amongst all the other cultures. That was the way. But today, the time has changed, and these things have now become restricted. We need to adjust ourselves and learn to know that, you know, how to, as they say, that the snake must be killed, but the rod mustn't be broken. The idea is that, like it meant in Islam, that just keep the rod hanging there, the stick there, that if you don't behave, then this is there as a last resort again. And secondly, that I'm going to deprive you of your privileges, etc., etc. So all of these things. But as far as abuse is concerned, it wasn't the nature of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith mentioned he never lifted up his hands on his on the females, on his wives, or anybody. And it's not even known in the, except one or two incidents in the aspect where he touched a kafir in the Battle of Uhud, just a little scar, and that became the cause of his death. He knew that. But the fact here is that the general seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was compassion, kindness, and forgiveness. And when he talked, like that Bedouin who came and urinated in the masjid, yeah, he was an adult. How Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to him and told sahaba were upset. And then I just said, you bring water, clearly. After that, this person, and then told this person that this is a masjid, a place where you don't urinate. He went back to his tribe and told them that I haven't seen a much, much more kind person and a teacher like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You accept Islam. So, subhanallah, the whole. So that's how Islam is. It teaches us the values and teaches us how to conduct ourselves with children. So as far as abuse is concerned, irrespective of whatever kind of abuse is, it is not allowed. Secondly, we understand our spouses, our children, our students, our servants are subjugated to us. We are in a position of authority. Mm-hmm. And it's the worst mean person, a low person, who uses his authority to abuse people physically or psychologically, and that is completely not allowed. We are then causing zulm. And by Maulana Thamli Rahmatullah has mentioned in some of his malfuzat, those kind of people, referring to the India in the good old style, you know, the traditional style, where they used to hit the children, you know, and said that this kind of niyajis or mullajis they were referred to, that they are making zulm on the children, or if they will answer to Allah. The child is helpless. The child can't hit back, and you are, the punishment is disproportionate to the mistake he has done. So they are causing zulm. The wife is in your control. You can do, but on a day of Qiyamah, they must remember, you've given us maafi from these children, given us maafi from their spouses and their servants if they made zulm on them, because they were at their mercy, they will answer to Allah. On a final note, I remember this one thing from my ustad and elders, that before, when we did something wrong, we didn't learn our sabak or did some bad act, they would first make us admit. This is the route I personally take with my children at the school. That one time we spoke to you, the teacher spoke to you, the HOD spoke to you, the principal, now you come to Maulana's office. Do you realize you have a problem? That it's like a kind of a sickness you have got. Gee, Maulana, admission is very important. Now, for that admission, you need a little bit of punishment in the sense to help you, right? So the child is seeing you as a benefactor, that I've got this problem and I'm not listening to anybody, and, you know, this is going to hurt me in the future. And what Maulana is going to do to me now is in a sense of disciplining me to help me. So after that punishment, which is not going to be, black and blue, you meet the child, if you have to meet out a little bit of physical punishment, no on any sensitive places, make the child first admit, and then make the child, even make them write out an admission of guilt and a promise not to do it. So when the child leaves someday, he doesn't go out with bad feelings for the ustad, for the senior, or for the teacher. He goes out feeling himself guilty and not as a victim. And inshallah, that will become the means of helping the child in the future to improve himself.
Amen.
He will think, as we say about our ustad, Allah give them high stages for all the cuts they gave us, in the hiding, that today we are somewhere in life, or as we would have been, Allah knows where.
Manasab, Jazakallah, Subhanallah, Jazakallah, for outlining to us, Manasab, the correct and the effective ways of disciplining our children. Request for du'as as well, Manasab, much appreciated for the wonderful advices, especially towards the end, some advices to the ustads, the muallimas and teachers as well, inshallah, that with absolute love, inshallah, teach the kids. Manasab, Jazakallah, and inshallah, we talk again.
Barakallah,
Jazakumullah, Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ma'am Abbas talking to us with regards to adab of children. Also, dear listeners, one last point, inshallah, like with regards to what the ulama can I mention, to reiterate the point that when disciplining a child, really, the parent or the ustad or the teacher, whatever it is, should refrain from becoming a dictator. And the rule is not to be followed because I say so, but because it is the right thing to do so. And really, the basis of all discipline is the safety and progress of the child. Inshallah, we've got to talk to them, jealousers, and inspire them with stories of great akhlaq and great character through books and seerah and verbal narrations. And don't ever allow the child to fear you. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to make amal. But also, but the bottom line, jealousers, is being in control of yourself when you're disciplining. And sometimes we as parents and ustads as well, we go overboard in our attempts to discipline. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding, inshallah aziz. Allah make our children flag bearers of the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright, 80 minutes to 12 o'clock, your children from Islam International. We conclude the panel discussion from Hassan Muhammad Khan, request for du'as, and Hafiz Hanzala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.